Now for this Thursday edition, it's the 2nd of May, 2024, and we got a special visitor as promised in studio with us today. That's Jesse Barton from Helion Technologies.
Good morning.
Good to see you, Jesse.
Great to see you too. Thanks so much for having me. It's a great day to be in the Wenatchee Valley.
Yeah. So Jesse, now you are from Helion, which is of course the reason you're here. We're talking about nuclear fission here, or just fission if we want to put it that way.
Fusion.
But you were going to tell me that you're actually from a small town as well in the Midwest.
Yeah, I'm actually from Branson, Missouri, and moved out to the Seattle area 3 years ago. And it's really great to be back in a small town. I feel like I'm seeing people talk to each other, and it's reminding me of my hometown roots.
The charms of a small town. Okay, so now Helion gave a major presentation to the, both involved with the Chelan PUD and now the Schlan-Douglas Regional Port Authority doing a feasibility study of a site in Malaga would be next to the Microsoft plant. Now, I guess you have a Helion has a contract, if it happens, to supply power to Microsoft data centers, etc., what they would have in Chelan, Douglas, and Grant counties. We are at the point with this technology. It hasn't actually crossed the finish line yet. Exciting stuff. It's called fission. If we want to not talk
fusion.
About fusion, nuclear fusion. It's not nuclear power plants in Chernobyl with all the waste. This is kind of the opposite. It's nuclear fusion, not fission. Okay, so let's. Why don't we just clarify? What
yeah, let's
all
dive
about.
Into that.
Well,
yeah.
So the difference between that, because people think nuclear and they think of waste and they think of spills and all kinds of bad stuff that happens. Nothing like that. Go ahead.
Yeah, nothing like that. So we are working to build a fusion power plant, and we have an LOI on that Malaga site to see if we could build the world's first fusion power plant there. And fusion is, fundamentally the process of combining things. Mm-hmm. And it's not a nuclear power plant that we're building. So let's talk about the differences between a nuclear power plant and a fusion power plant. Fusion and fission sound similar, so it's okay that sometimes we get them confused, but they're fundamentally different processes with much different profiles and safety concerns. So the first thing and probably most important is that when fusion stops, it just stops. So there's no risk of supercriticality like you might have in a nuclear power plant. There's no runaway chain reaction. When you turn the machine off, the machine is off, and it cools instantly.
Right.
The second thing that's really a big differentiator between fusion and fission is that fusion doesn't have high-level radioactive waste. So in a nuclear power plant, you have waste that might be sticking around for tens of thousands of years, but for fusion, that's not the case. There is waste, and we should talk about that in more detail, but not at the same level as a nuclear power plant would have.
Well, then talk about any waste field. What would it be with the fusion process?
Yeah, through the fusion process that Helion undergoes, we have five byproducts. Mm-hmm. Two of those are a form of helium, so just the helium that you have in a party balloon. And then there's a special type of helium called helium-3 that we use in medical imaging for lungs or cryogenics, so keeping things really cold. We also create a proton, which you can directly recapture as electricity. So those are three of the five byproducts, all safe, all things that we can capture really easily. Then there are two things that we are concerned about, and those are the two things that our team works to protect against that we want to make sure that the community knows about so they can assess the safety of it themselves. We create an isotope of hydrogen called tritium. Tritium is a radioactive material, but it has a half-life of 12 and a half years. So the safety profile of tritium is much different than you might have from a fission power plant nuclear waste, right?
Right.
And tritium we see every day in the things around us. It's in exit signs, in our wristwatches, and it actually decays into helium-3. So in that 12 and a half years, it's decaying into this safe form of helium. And then finally, the fifth byproduct that's created through the fusion process is a neutron. And neutrons are things that you want to protect against because if they run into something, it can activate that material. Neutrons that we create are low energy, and so we stop them using borated concrete. The neutrons will hit a big wall, and the neutron will stop in that concrete. So those are the byproducts that we create and how we protect against
this. What kind of storage would happen if we get to the point? Because we haven't gotten to the point where we actually have a power plant that's operational. Just said that's a big hurdle. We'll talk about that in half a second. What would be the storage of that, and what
yeah,
would it
I mean, it's important to point out that for any fusion power plant, the amount of fuel you're using is very small, actually.
Okay.
So just 1 gram of fusion fuel could power any of our houses for over a year. And when I'm saying 1 gram, I mean 1 gram, very, very small amounts of fuel. And that means on the backside, the waste that you're producing in the process is also very small. So it's not, again, a difference with a nuclear power plant where you have, you know, big storage units of waste. That's not the same case with a fusion power plant because you're using such little amounts of fuel. But I do want to come back to one other difference between fusion and fission, and that's the regulation. So fission has a lot of regulatory burdens, and that falls from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. And last year in April, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission actually gave all of the power to the states to regulate fusion. And for Washington State, that means that the Department of Health actually regulates fusion. And that's because fusion and the byproducts of fusion are much more akin to what a hospital is producing through x-rays when they're doing MRIs. So we are, you know, regulated the same way that any hospital is.
Bottom line is the risk of this is minute compared to what we hear when we hear all the horror stories about the nuclear power plants and the meltdowns, et cetera.
Yeah.
It's a much different thing.
Yeah, there's no chance of meltdown.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No chance of meltdown. Okay, mm-hmm. So we have nothing like that. So it's, mm-hmm. it's comparatively, safe. You know,
really can be thinking about an industrial facility or a hospital.
So, mm-hmm. Exactly. Like you just, we need to say that. So that we now we know the difference. We know it's safe. Now we are at the point where one of these, and if you've got to pass the Helion, has to pass the test here, has mm-hmm. to build, actually prove that they can actually have a plant that can actually produce fission generated
fusion.
Power. Fusion.
It's all right. We'll get it.
Sorry about that. Fusion generated power. And it hasn't happened just yet. And one of your big hurdles, the next one is going to be this fall, right?
Yeah. So let's talk about the history of Helion. We were founded in 2013 with a mission to satisfy the world's need for clean and abundant energy. And in that process, we've iterated on our technology and we've built 6 working fusion prototypes. So we've actually done fusion for the last 10 years. We've done fusion at bulk. We've shown that we can do it at commercial scale. But each of those machines that we've built have changed a little piece of the process to demonstrate a different part of the process. So our last machine that we operated between 2019 and 2022 showed that we could do commercial fusion conditions. We could get enough heat in our machine, we could get enough atoms to be fusing, that we could produce enough energy from that process to make it, you know, reasonable to put it on the grid. What we're building now is our 7th prototype, which is called Polaris, named after the North Star. And we're building this in Everett, Washington. And the goal of Polaris is to demonstrate electricity from fusion. So we're not looking to just do the fusion process. We're actually looking to pull those electrons out of the system.
So, so if the power gets, if the power is generated, that's the go-ahead. Then you go ahead and then you look for the very first nuclear fusion power plant.
Mm-hmm.
A fusion power plant in the world
mm-hmm.
could be someplace in Washington State. You're looking at a number of different mm-hmm. locations. And here you're looking at Malaga, and you're conducting a feasibility study about that. We'll be right next to the data center that Microsoft is building right now that will open up.
Yeah.
Of course, you have the contract, too, if this happens, to supply the power to Microsoft. So this is all kind of visionary what could happen if down the line, if it does happen, but there's still a hurdle.
Yeah, and you know, I have to pull on that visionary thread because we've been in the community for the last couple of days and have heard about the visionary work done with the dams early on in Chelan County and Douglas County. And it has been really exciting to have these conversations about a new visionary project, like the world's first fusion power plant right here in Chelan. I mean, it would be a really cool full circle story.
Yeah, so it could happen. And we are getting to the point where it might happen. And it's all science and technology and getting over the next hurdle. And we're not sure when it's going to happen, but it could happen soon, right?
Yeah, I mean, we have a power purchase agreement with Microsoft to provide them electricity in 2028.
Okay.
So we're looking at, you know, 4 years from now, we want to have a power plant online producing electricity. And that electricity will be going to the Mid-Columbia Sea. The Mid-Sea.
Is there a benefit also by Chelan PUD was into the alternative sources. That's why I think it sprang from that.
Yeah, we were here in December at the Clean Energy Expo where the Chelan PUD did an amazing job to bring in a mix of innovative, visionary technologies, knowing that, you know, no matter who you are, we all know that there's a growing demand for energy. That's just how the world is working right now, and we need new technologies to do that. And we were here in December presenting, getting to know the community members, and I mean, through that, it was really incredible to again see the visionary thinking that the community has here.
Does it dovetail at all, but with this power plant, the fusion power plant, would it dovetail at all with getting any sort of power source from the hydropower dams to power the power plant before it produces anything? Is there any connection there? Is there any attraction because it's, you know, it's very cheap power coming from the,
you know,
from the dams?
I have heard that this is the buckle of the power belt. Mm-hmm. And I think that what that says about the community here is that you've got an energy infrastructure and you've got, you know, the things in place that, I mean, you're an energy community, right? And that's going to be beneficial for us. That means you have the expertise, you have the excitement about power, you know what power can mean for a community, and that's really exciting for us to, for the potential for us to build here.
Okay. Basically, you can read my story that's on KPQ.com. It has to do with Helion. You can even look up that. You're just Helion and KPQ and learn more about it there. Otherwise, how would you have people discover more about Helion?
Yeah, helionenergy.com. And then I also recommend going to YouTube and looking up Helion Energy. We have several videos that explain our process and explain our technology.
All right, Jesse Barton, the Director of Communications with Helion. Thanks for joining us today.
I have a question for you, Jesse, before
yeah,
we finish out.
Of
too.
Course, yes,
why did the pioneers of nuclear technology and their infinite wisdom not do fusion instead of fission?
Fusion is hard. Fusion is hard, and really at the same time they were developing those programs, they were also working on a fusion track. But the technologies just weren't in place at the time to make fusion happen, and we're finally at the place where it can.
Okay, so they get a pass, then. It's a new technology. Very good.
New
thanks,
deal.
Chris. Thanks, okay. Thanks, Jason.
Thank you for joining us. And keep you.